As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look for innovators who are set out to reshape entire industries. Here we've got a bit of a trifecta: investing, media, and education. With me is Tasty Trade founder and Doe CEO Christy Ross. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
This is awesome. I'm ecstatic to have this conversation. I told you before we started the show that I'm sort of getting into this investing thing on my own. Mm-hmm. And I basically rewrote the script for what we're going to talk about today somewhere between like last night and about 6 a.m. this morning. So this ought to be exciting. Investing is one of those crazy things that seems like a lot of fun. All the way up until, and it's exciting for sure, mm-hmm. All the way up until you blow your bonus. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what scares a lot of people away. And you have had an entire career in this field. Mm-hmm. Why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about why investing and, you know, like your background, where this dream came from.
Sure. So first of all, I just want to set the record straight. I have a co-founder, Sosnoff, and he actually came up with the idea for Tasty Trade. And then I was his co-founder with Doe, which was us bringing trading technology and trading options to the millennials. So I'll kind of walk through what that looked like. Absolutely. Over the years for me. I've been in and around the trading and brokerage industry for over 25 years. And I put that number out there, and all of a sudden, you know, that dates me, and it ages me. But it's
but
been
you started at 25, though, so it's
course,
like
of course, I know.
Like, so the aging thing is, like, kind of, sort of.
But I started out actually on the accounting side of things, and was exposed to traders on the floor, and ended up being the CFO for a stock specialist firm on the Chicago Stock Exchange floor, and ended up becoming the CFO for Thinkorswim, which is an online brokerage firm. That's actually where I met Tom Sosnoff, oh, cool. my co-CEO. And over the course of my career, have been through about 20 mergers and acquisitions and capital raises. And so I come more from the angle, not as much, excuse me, not as much as the accountant, but is more on the strategic side. And excuse me, I'm just coming off of a little bit of a cold.
It's all, you're fine.
So more on the strategic side, which is what really excited me, as well as being part of the trading industry. And we were in the time frame that I was the CFO for Thinkorswim. We went through 6 mergers and acquisitions alone during that time frame. The last one being TD Ameritrade buying us out yep. for $750 million. And so the big question was, what's next, right? And there's a, you know, talking to Tom said, you know, I want to make finance fun. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so creating Tasty Trade had a mission really to make finance fun and actionable and approachable. And so we started Tasty Trade 4 years ago, which right now we produce about 8.5 hours of live programming every day talking about the markets.
And it's very good programming. I've watched a couple friends of mine go through it, one that'll be on later today, actually, that they do awesome. It's a great show. I love the show.
Thanks a lot. And it's a lot of people say you do 8.5 hours talking about the markets. There's so much going on in the markets that it's new content every day. But the purpose is really around educating and engaging people in the markets. You know, one of the things about a year and a half into Tasty Trade, we said, okay, this is kind of one-dimensional, and we want to provide a 360 experience for someone to be able to not just watch the shows, but to be able to participate as well. And that's when we created Doe. Yep. And so we launched Doe. We launched Doe about 2 years ago, and ended up right now, I would say that getting investors engaged in the markets with a highly visual trading platform is much easier than just looking at a screen has a bunch of numbers.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess, you know, you brought up a couple of good points. The first I would mention, and I want to talk about briefly, is obviously the trading floor is so populated with women. So that had to have been just like really easy adjustment, no big deal. Just
definitely a male-dominated industry.
Say.
But I'm highly competitive. Yeah. And so I didn't really, I wasn't afraid of it. It was something that I sort of just jumped in head on. And have always been someone who didn't have a problem sort of speaking her mind.
Yep.
So,
well, I'd say it worked out all right for you, I think. And you know, actually, I read an article about you where you were quoted as saying that having an opinion is super important, mm-hmm. as well as believing that, you know, you should be there.
Absolutely.
And I think you exemplify that in the success that you had. So that's awesome. And congratulations on that success.
Thank you.
The other part about this that I really am interested in is the video aspect and the ability to create a show around the markets. People would think, like, you watch Market Watch on CNN or whatever it is, and it's just like, oh my God, like, it's so boring. I just cannot take it. The damage that has done to my generation of investors is, honestly, it's reprehensible for one, but it's probably, you're going to be the only person who's going to be able to fix it, because there are so many cool stories. I was on the air this morning talking about the markets that are kind of going crazy right now in China, mm-hmm. and overseas. And it's like, you would think, you know, I don't know anything about global markets. Like, that's not my thing. But the reason for some of this stuff is so fascinating, and the ability to come out and cover it and tell a story around the numbers, mm-hmm. rather than just the numbers, mm-hmm. is a huge part of getting my generation, I'm 31, getting my millennial generation to actually get involved in investing as well as take an interest in it.
Right.
And you guys are doing awesome with that.
Thanks. And one of the things I would say even about millennials is, while a lot of people think that millennials are risk averse,
yep.
they really just want a little bit of guidance. But are way more equipped to be a do-it-yourself investor. And that's something that we have clearly focused on. One of the things that we do, though, is we teach a logical, mechanical approach to investing using options. So we clear all that noise and all that confusion, because there's so much data out there and there's so much information. It's hard for people really to understand what they should pay attention to.
Oh, of course.
And the whole comment about something being entertaining, and that's really the key, and that's hard to do. But we've added personalities that not only are credible, meaning they know about the markets, they know about options, but also they're willing to sort of share who they are and bring their life stories to the table, as well as adding, you know, some comedians in there and writers to really, truly sort of punch it up a little bit to keep everybody engaged.
Well, that's the key. I mean, I don't want to say gamify it. I mean, we talked about before, mm-hmm. Fantasy football. My friends who do not invest, and I tell them, like, you've got this money. Like, you should do something with it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I play fantasy football. And it's just like, dude, no. This
right?
is not the same thing. But to that point, what fantasy football does so well is they make it entertaining. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's still a numbers game.
Right.
Like, you just affixed a name that it maybe associates with a team you like. Other than that, it's still flipping numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that you've essentially taken that kind of a concept where you've wrapped a story, mm-hmm. around the numbers makes it so that people like me would take an interest. I'd be entertained in it, and I will learn something for it. And then at the end of it, if I'm really entertained by it, I would actually, you know, get involved and invest. The other thing you saw, or that you said, millennials being risk averse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I'm just the one. I think I'm the riskiest person on the planet. Maybe, mm-hmm. I'm just that one, like, weird millennial. But I think any group of people who will take out almost $250,000 in education,
yeah.
with absolutely no idea of how to pay it back, mm-hmm. I would not qualify them as risk averse.
Oh, and I agree. I think there have been a lot of publications out there that people have said they're risk averse,
yeah.
and I'm like, I'm not seeing it.
It's the kale, the vegan, and, like, the hipster pants that are doing that.
There you go.
I think we're fooling people a little bit.
I think so too. But no, I agree. And there's what is it? There's about 59 trillion dollars that's going to transfer wealth, right,
yeah.
to, like, 15.5 million affluent millennials, you know, over the course of time. And that's something that we want to be able to empower them to take control of their own finances and actually understand the markets. And that's what we do, and we do well. The interesting thing, too, is that it's not only for millennials. It's all the way from millennials to retirees.
Yeah.
And it's all the way from beginners to truly advanced traders. And so we have shows for all of those. We have 40 different shows.
That's
and
incredible.
And so we have Step Up to Options, which is for sort of the beginner. And we use Rachel Fox, which was she was on Desperate Housewives.
Yep, yep.
And we have other challenging shows like Truth or Skepticism for someone who says, hey, I really question sort of your mechanics and what you guys are putting out there in trading options because they're risky and. We took Dylan Radigan and had him go head to head with Tom Sosnoff and had them sort of battle out what we're teaching. And in the end, now Dylan Radigan is an active options trader.
I honestly, I haven't done it yet. I'm going to have to start playing around on it because – I really want to get involved. Mm-hmm. And I truly, I'm not just saying this because you're sitting in front of me. I really actually think that people have to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the what happened in the markets before mm-hmm. has a lot to do with people not being intelligent about the markets and not knowing what's going on. And like, you just throw out a couple of quick words and like five numbers and people are like, oh, I'm out of here.
Right.
And that's what got us in this jam. I mean, there's government stuff, but really mm-hmm. that's what got us in this. We're ignorant as to what this should look like. We should know what numbers mean.
Right. And there are far too many people relying on advisors and other people that really, when you start to ask the questions, and once you understand it as an investor yourself, being able to ask the right questions to understand whether your advisor even really knows.
I will give you a line. I don't know where it came from, so I can't really attribute it. But this is something I've lived by for quite a while, and you can put it on the bottom of this segment, really. Do not ever take advice from someone that you would not trade places with.
Oh, I totally agree.
Whenever I talk to people, I have so many friends who, no offense to accountants, my mom was an accounting teacher in high school. Like, mm-hmm. I love accountants, which is another fascinating thing. And I want to touch on that in a second, too. But I don't want to take financial advice from you. I've seen you in some seriously precarious situations. I do not trust you, and I would not want to be you.
Yeah.
And you telling me what to do with my money is sort of like, I don't think so, pal.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend people to like learn mm-hmm. what the advisor is telling you. Learn what they're actually saying and not just right. rely on their right. you know, charming whatever it is.
Right. And that's the beauty, too, of all of the content that we put out there. It's all free to yep. the end user, and our software is free to use. But basically, it's like standing over a trader's shoulder, understanding what, you know, he's actually explaining yeah. What he's doing and
it's
why
translator.
He's doing it all day long. And that's pretty amazing. People pay tens of thousands of dollars for that kind of stuff. It's something where the credibility and the years of experience, we're just bringing that sort of to the masses for the retail investor.
So I feel like you must have done a million interviews, because your segue there was absolutely perfect. You are a CPA when you came out of college. Not something traditionally lauded for its understanding of the consumer and the customer experience.
Right, right.
And you take pride in the fact that you provide an amazing customer experience, as you just alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you said it shows how knowledgeable on the subject you are.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you, or were you always born, were you born with it? Where did you develop the trait or understanding that the customer's experience and what they're doing is massively important, and that you have to get that right before maybe anything else?
Right. I think that individually, if you're in tune with people around you, it's the same sort of thing you can apply to business as well. And it's not just me. It's my co-founder as well. We have the same strand when it comes to the end customer. I mean, you wouldn't have a business if you didn't have customers, right? And so bending over backwards and not only looking at what the customer wants, but providing amazing access, all access. Open access for your customers to be able to give you feedback is one of the key things in building a great business, is because then you can actually, you're hearing it from the customer what they want. I mean, there are companies that pay millions of dollars to try to take surveys of what their customers want. I mean, if you actually open it up and give them your email address and take the phone calls and listen to what they're saying, you're going to build an amazing business off of that. And that's something that we did at Thinkorswim. That's something that that ultimately we're doing here at Tasty Trading Dough.
You hit on it perfectly. Clients will pay me to do surveys and things with people. Empathizing with the end user is something that I take pride in. That's a major part of what I do when I'm not doing this. And I mean, I'll take the money if you want to pay me to like tell you what your customers think.
Yeah.
But they will happily tell you.
Yes.
And I mean, they're like Yelp. They're itching to tell you that they don't like you or they do like you, and mm-hmm. why and why not. And it's just amazing. And I'm glad that you were able to figure that out, obviously, at a pretty early yeah. start in this, because to have three companies and probably more, that was like a key ingredient to, just as a testament to both the way that you figured it out, but also the importance mm-hmm. of understanding your end customer. What is next for Christy Ross? I'm sure that you've got things in the pipeline other than dough.
We do, actually, and something we can't talk about right now, but we're excited about it. We
you better
have some,
return to tell us about it later.
Well, I absolutely will. We have some more exciting things to, again, just add to sort of our, I'll call it our suite of products for our end customer. You know, the other thing, too, is that We're heavily invested in Chicago, and we believe in the Chicago ecosystem and looking at sort of the fintech and different initiatives that are happening in the city. So that's something that we at Tasty Trade and Dough actually feel very passionate about. And so hopefully you'll see us around town being involved in other things as well.
I'm sure. And if you could tell the listeners exactly where they can find out more about Tasty Trade and Dough and how to get involved in this.
Absolutely. So they can come straight to tastytrade.com. For to watch our shows, you can go straight to dough.com, D-O-U-G-H, to check out our platform. And again, both of them are free. And certainly anybody can reach out to me at Christy@tastytrade.com, Christy@dough.com. I'll even throw Tom's out there, tom@tastytrade.com.
He'll love it.
He will love it. And he just doesn't get enough emails.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Millions.
Well, I'm also sure dough.com was not a cheap domain. I'm not going to ask, but
I'm going to just say that we got lucky. We absolutely got lucky.
I'm like a domain freak, so I've got a couple that I got lucky on. I'm just like holding them, like, man, this is retirement.
We did an investment with Lightbank.
Oh, okay.
And we got lucky. We were in the middle of coming up with a name, and they're like, hey, we got this. We're like, hey, we'll take it.
Done. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks again for having me.
You can watch this episode and more at advisor.tv, stream us on the WGN Plus or Rivet Radio apps, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.